Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are in the studio this week talking about teams and teamwork. One of the challenges with any innovation organization is how do you stitch together teams that actively work well together, but also have high impact. There's teams that are just kind of slapped together, or there's themes and methodologies to actually put teams together that achieve the long-term objective. And look, I've worked on good teams, I've worked on bad teams. We all have lived through the misery of teams that just don't work well at all, but we've also had the excitement of those few times in your career where you just find that perfect team and you just absolutely crush it. And then we search for the rest of our career to find that team all over again. For me, that was Telligent back in 1996. We had a phenomenal team, and that's, 20 years ago. And I still get emails from people from that team who have been on the search for their career to recreate that team. So today we're going to talk about teams and really these high-performance teams, and can you really architect them, or are they accidental? Do they just magically happen? In the studio today, we have Audrey Epstein and Linda Adams from Trispective. They have recently just put out a new book called The Loyalist Team, and we're going to talk more about that. But I want to get a little bit of background on both Audrey and Linda to kind of how did you get here thinking about teamwork, given your backgrounds? And Audrey, you and I know each other, so
yes.
you actually came in here to Cable Labs when I first became the CEO here, and providing support services as we were reconstructing the innovation culture here. But give us a little bit of your background, and then we'll let Linda share a little also.
Absolutely. So I have worked in the field of leadership, team, and organizational development my entire career. I have been fascinated by the pursuit of excellence in leadership and teamwork. So while I know a lot of people have an innate interest in what makes a product work, what makes a business run from a financial modeling standpoint, I really have studied, researched, and practiced in the field of how do you get a team of bright, charismatic, passionate people together and make more of it than just the once-in-a-lifetime accidental team. And what is it about leadership that either creates exceptional performance in teams or can destroy teamwork if you're not careful with it?
So my guess is when you were growing up, now you grew up in Michigan,
yes,
right?
Up
the suburb of Detroit. That were you the one that was kind of the organizer in the family, kind of the social butterfly, stitched them all together, wanted to make sure everybody in the family was happy?
I definitely played that role.
Yeah, see, I had you nailed. I had you nailed. You could tell the people that are kind of those, the leadership people, they're the ones that even as kids, you're busy trying to orchestrate it. My oldest daughter is the exact same way, by the way.
Well, there's no need for like undue conflict or inefficiency when you can make a system work better by getting at the like human and personal dynamics. Yeah, so
it's called manipulating your parents.
There you go. That might be a better term. I think they would still say I'm pretty good at that.
So Linda, you're part of Trispective. Now, how many partners do you have in the firm now?
So we have four.
We have half the firm, half the partners in the room here. So Linda, give us a little of your background. How did you get into this role of helping organizations around leadership teams?
So I've been working human resources my entire professional career, straight out of university, working in industrial relations and in other roles in the corporate HR environment. And my last gig was with Level 3 Communications, where I was global head of HR.
And great company, by the way.
It absolutely
yeah,
is.
Very impressive.
And Audrey and I had the privilege, I believe, and the benefit of being able to create really a world-class leadership development function from the ground up, because I joined just as Level 3 was a startup.
Mm-hmm.
$14 billion startup, but still a startup. And of all the work that I've ever done in my 30 years in corporate, the whole aspect of leadership development and really exploring the potential that exists within individuals and teams and helping them find and really realize that potential was what energized me more than anything else I'd ever done in HR. And there was a moment in time when Audrey and one of our other partners, Rebecca, we're sitting having a conversation about a leadership development challenge we were dealing with at Level 3 and kind of looked at each other and said, you know, someday we should do this for ourselves. And just the opportunity to take it beyond one company to literally hundreds of companies here in primarily North America, but across the globe, that was the opportunity we felt we had and was really the driver behind founding Trispective.
So what's your background? You get up at Level 3, but what's your career look like? How do you get – what's the stages that kind of put you into that position to have the kind of impact that you had at Level 3?
So my degree is in economics and philosophy from the University of St. Andrews, so predates any HR degrees.
I couldn't tell by the accent.
Where it might be from. No, discovered St. Andrews long before Will and Kate did. But in that economics course, there was a study in industrial relations. And in doing that work, I really became drawn to the field of HR and had an opportunity straight out of university to go into a graduate program with Ford Motor Company and Ford of Europe and spent time there really, really getting into the weeds of what it was to be in HR, working with unions, working in research and development facilities. And that really, the fire was there, but that like caused it to burst and ignite. And from there, I just pursued a career through human resources with increasing areas of responsibility in different companies. Spent time at PepsiCo, which is definitely one of the world-class HR organizations. Learned so much there. Had an opportunity to head up an HR function for a US-based UK business in specialty retail and had just some amazing experiences there way outside the HR field. And then a month after that business was sold, I got a call from a former colleague from my Pepsi days to say that the head of HR for Level 3 was not going to relocate to Colorado and they were looking for someone. So I came out, I interviewed, and you know, as they say, the rest is history.
Is that what brought you to Colorado then, was the Level 3 opportunity?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Almost 20 years ago.
Well, it's interesting, though, because you know, your background of working across a wide range of industries and a wide range of geographies, right? And you work with the clients you work with, the list goes on forever. You know, Audrey's on your side. But at least in my background, same thing. I worked in a wide range of industries, and I think it gives you a different perspective, right? You don't get caught in the trap of everybody operates the exact same way, particularly union experience. How do you drive highly engaged employees? Because there's this perception that unions, you know, you treat them differently. Mm-hmm. But in reality, my experience having union employees has been completely different. You can get them engaged.
Well, with any employees, whether they have a union card or not, if you don't engage with them appropriately and treat them with dignity and respect, you're not going to get the outcomes you're looking for. And so I never felt any differently about the union employees that I dealt with at Ford than I do with anyone that I'm working with here in Colorado.
Yep. Well, and I think while we see absolute differences in pace of change, in some of the challenges that business face, I think there are also some leadership universals that go to what Linda just talked. Everyone wants to feel valued and valuable in their jobs. Everyone wants to be respected, to bring their expertise and get to do their best work, mm-hmm. and, you know, have some autonomy and the ability to, like, action what they believe and create change.
Yeah, and I think, you know, look, we're all part of teams, right? And everybody wants to leave a legacy. Right, we're proud about our past work, right? So it's the work that you kind of hang on the wall and point to that, you know, that's where I've had that biggest impact. So now you're at level three. Were you?
I was at level three with her.
Oh, okay. You guys already. Okay. Now I have connected the dots here. Right. And then that's what really kind of drove then, you know, this recognition of not just doing it for one company, but let's find an approach that will allow us to translate that great work and allow other companies to benefit and create these kinds of high-impact teams.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue on our conversations with Audrey Epstein and Linda Adams, the authors of The Loyalist Team. So don't go anywhere. This is an important topic for those of us in the innovation game because teams are critical. Innovation is a team sport. You can't innovate on your own. It all is all about your team. So don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Rwanda is a shining example of how the global community can come together and rebuild a country after a devastating genocide. But there is still more that needs to be done. In the rural villages, students are crowded into schools with no electricity, no running water, no internet access, and limited sanitation. Will these kids be ready to continue the rebuilding of Rwanda, or will they be dependent upon others? Through education and employment, boys and girls have an equally promising future that can transform their struggling communities. For $20 a month, a child can be educated and a community strengthened. By supporting Pioneer Education Africa, a 501c3 charity, you partner with others to provide education that will prepare a generation to take on the task of self-reliance. 100% of the proceeds received go directly to the education of the children. Visit PioneerEducationAfrica.com to find out more.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline prices. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back, but before we hop back into this episode, I need to do a quick shout-out to one of our sponsors. The sponsor for today's show is Zoom. Zoom provides all of the video and collaboration technology that we use here on the show every day, and I use Zoom every day in my day job. Zoom's been sponsoring us for over a year, and this is a technology that we could not operate without. Check it out if you've got teams, your people, partners, vendor suppliers. This is the tool that allows them to all come together, communicate, share, and collaborate. We've worked with Zoom. Zoom is providing a free account. You can get a free account over at killerinnovations.com/Zoom. It'll allow you to collaborate with up to 50, that's right, 50 people using the latest video technologies, the latest audio technologies, and it is just simple to use. So check it out. Hop on over to killerinnovations.com/Zoom. So Audrey and Linda, we talked in the last segment about the decision for you guys to say the work that you did at Level 3, let's take that outside. Let's make that available to others. Show people how this could be done to kind of help create these kind of organizations that are high impact, high functioning, organizations that actually get the full investment of time, passion, and energy from the employees. So talk us through what that looks like. What was it going from Level 3 to starting Trispective and the kinds of things you do with your clients?
So maybe not the best time in the world to start a new company, but we founded Trispective in 2008.
Oh, wow. Just in the economic downturn. That'll test you.
It was like, here's a good idea. But we really felt so passionately about what we thought we had to offer by way of helping teams and organizations really do their best work and to bring to people the experience that you had at Telligent around this is the best team ever. And what we know in our work is that less than 15% of the teams that we work with are actually in that high performance, what we call that loyalist team space. So we literally sat down, had a conversation about who we wanted to be, spent a little bit of time talking about how we're going to call our company. But it was really then all about working our networks and getting out there and getting the message out there about what we thought we had to offer. We developed a model and an approach to how we classify teams very early on in our inception. And then from there, really just talked with the people that we knew where we saw we could bring value to their business proposition.
So talk me through a little bit of the model, right? You said already that this classification of what you call the loyalist team being mm-hmm. the high performing team. So what are the other four types of teams, I guess?
So the loyalist team would be the best team that you might work with. On the flip side, at the other end of the spectrum, are the toughest teams to work with. And those we label as saboteur teams. And
that's so I can already imagine how those teams look like when you say the saboteur teams, right?
Well, just like you said, I'll never forget that great team experience I had. You probably have more than one of those saboteur team experiences that you've come across in your lifetime.
I am confessing nothing.
Okay, well, we'll just keep that between us. But those definitely are the toughest teams that people find themselves engaged with. And the similarities between saboteur and loyalist is that in both categories, you have to be actively, intentionally involved. You cannot be an accidental saboteur. I can't just throw you under the bus and not know how I did that. Likewise, I can't be an accidental loyalist. In the middle are two much more passive categories. One up from saboteur is benign saboteur. And those are teams where people keep their head down, attend to their own business. The way I think about benign saboteur teams is that the sum of the parts in a benign saboteur team don't even equal the whole. It falls a little short. And then
one plus one equals one and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. On a good day.
On a good day.
On a good day. And then one up from that are situational loyalist teams, where there's a lot more going right than wrong, where there are pockets of trust, and where there is a fairly high degree of collaboration. But those relationships tend to be very conditional. And again, that's a big differentiator between situational loyalists and loyalists, is the notion of condition. If I'm going to be a loyalist to you, it is unconditional. I don't need anything from you in order for me to show up at my very best.
I think one of the big differences between situational and loyalist when it comes to innovation is the idea that on loyalist teams, I am absolutely accountable for your and our success. So that means I have to have tough, candid conversations with you.
Mm-hmm.
We have to put the ideas on the table. We don't have the meeting after the meeting. We don't play nice, and we're not consensus bound. We make our decisions together. We support each other unconditionally. But that also means we have accountability to challenge each other, give each other tough feedback, to make each other better, keep each other sharp.
You bring up a good point, though, because it's not human nature to have that kind of candor with respect
mm-hmm.
kind of conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, everybody wants to play nice and, oh, it's great. Yeah, that's a nice idea, right? And then when you get out of the room... And again, I guess it falls almost into the benign where I've
yes.
seen it, where they just say, well, I'm not going to put any effort behind it because I don't buy it. I don't believe that idea, or I don't believe that decision. And so how hard has it been to get people to get comfortable giving those kind of candid? Have you seen it as being a hard time within people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as we've worked with teams and even the best teams and through all of our research, we know that the lowest scoring attribute on any team, even the highest performing teams, is the ability to give tough and candid feedback. But we also know that loyalist teams are 106 times more likely to provide tough, candid feedback than teams that are not.
Mm-hmm.
So while it's hard, and I think it's hard for anyone, the being in that loyalist team gives you that space and gives you that trust that in having a tough conversation with you, we're not going to fall apart.
Well, that's it. Everybody, and people have a hard time not taking it personal.
Absolutely. That's why we feel like it is so important to set norms and expectations. So if you don't define how you want your team to behave and what is expected on the team, people will fall back on what they've seen. And as you've said, we've seen bad teams, good teams, average teams. They don't know what great looks like. What you started with, that story of I have to go back so many years, we've heard from so many people. We start every team session with a question of what's your best team experience. I'd say 80% have to go back to high school sports. That's crazy.
That is crazy. But the interesting thing is, if I think about Telligent, I couldn't put my fingers on why,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think what you guys have done is put the framework together to help me say, "Go, you know, that's right. We had that characteristic, right?" You don't think about it. You just think about, wow, we just got a lot done. It was productive. So we're going to take another quick commercial break here. When we come back, we're going to pick up, talk more about the loyalist team and how that all comes together. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You're listening to Co-Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
Sometimes business owners and entrepreneurs don't follow a traditional schedule. Well, that's where BizTV's Biz Club can work for you on your time. For only $5.95 a month, you can have over 200 hours of our fresh, original content on demand, anywhere, anytime. And with our search feature, you can quickly and easily find the topic or show you're looking for in seconds. Sign up today and see what you've been missing. Free for 7 days. Join the Biz Club. It's BizTV on your time.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Every new parent dreams of bringing their baby home for the first time. But some babies are born too sick or too soon to come home right away. That's why Famous Footwear supports the life-saving research and programs of the March of Dimes, the leading nonprofit organization for pregnancy and baby health. Help us give every baby a fighting chance so that more babies can come home. Learn how at marchofdimes.org.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back, and before we hop back into this show, need to do another shout-out to one of our sponsors. This week's sponsor, HP. HP has been providing all the gear that we have in the current studio, and we're actually in construction for a new studio, which we will unveil here in about another month or so. But you probably all know, you're probably sitting there going, now hold on, Phil, you used to be the CTO at HP. What's the game here? The support that we get from HP and actually the support we get from Zoom actually goes to our charities, Hacking Autism and Pioneer Education Africa. And through their support, it allows us to put more funds into the programs to create educational opportunities for those in Rwanda, Africa, but also to work with people on the autism spectrum where there's an 81% unemployment rate for those with an autism diagnosis. So I just want to do a shout out. Thank HP for their support for that effort. All the technology we run the show on is based on HP. I just got my new EliteBook 360 and absolutely just love it. So check it out. You can go over to killinnovations.com/HP. You can see all the workstations and gear that we use to run the show today. And sit tight, because in about a month, we're going to unveil a new studio that will just curl your hair. This thing is killer. I can't wait. So sit tight. Check out HP. Let them know you heard about it over here at Killer Innovations. That's a big help. So, Audrey and Linda, we were talking before about the four different types of teams. But I really want to focus on what if I'm putting together a team, or I'm a manager or a leader inside of an organization, and I really want to create great teams. Nobody goes in as a manager and says, well, I really want to put together a crappy team, right? Nobody ever sets that as their objective. What can leaders do, and how should they think about creating these loyalist teams? How does that happen?
So there's a couple of things that I think leaders need to have really present front of mind as they start this work. And the first is about being really clear about their expectations about who this team is going to be and who they're going to be for each other. So to really be able to get those expectations out there in a way that people can understand and connect with. And then Audrey has mentioned this before around getting some team norms set up and have the team be a part of helping develop those. And basically rules of the road around who we're going to be to each other and how we're going to show up on this team. And then as a team leader yourself, you've got to model those norms and hold yourself and others accountable for living them. You can't just throw them out there and then kind of forget about them, because then actually I think that does more damage than it does good.
Yeah, try to fake it.
Yeah.
You set some goal that you're not really bought into. And it wasn't really directed to me here when I became the CEO at Cables. Look, I was CTO at HP, and I've been president of a small little, you know, five-person consulting firms or whatever. But the one thing I learned coming in as a leader inside of an organization like Cable Labs, roughly 200 people, is as a CEO, as soon as you walk through the front door, you are on stage.
Absolutely.
Because if I came in grumpy, receptionist lets everybody in the building know, stay away from Phil.
Oh, you wouldn't get to your office before that message was all
message,
around the building.
Right? But I think all leaders need to realize that their teams feed off of them. Yep. Their attitude, their approach, their how they interact, do they speak candidly, do they treat people with respect? The leader sets the tone.
Absolutely. As humans, our moods are contagious. As a leader, the way you show up will 100% impact what you get out of the people around you. Are they energized, engaged, and motivated to drive change and build your business? Or are they feeling like they're in victim mode, they're downtrodden, et cetera? I just wanted to add a couple things to what Linda said about what you need to do to build a team. I think one of the most important components is you need shared goals. Otherwise, you don't have a team. So the team needs to come together and define, what does success look like for us? How are we going to measure and drive that success? And how will we hold ourselves accountable to that?
This gets to be a challenge, though, for particularly new leaders, because it's kind of letting up control. We all have this expectation. The leader sets the goal, then everybody else's job is to execute against that goal. And I can tell a new leader versus an experienced leader, right? New leaders always are, here's the objective, and we're all going to sign up for it, versus the experienced leader is like, that doesn't work. You got to bring everybody together.
Absolutely, you have to do that. There may well, though, be times when teams really need to understand that there may be a directed goal. And we certainly experienced that at Level 3 in the downturn, where it became very clear what our shared team goals needed to be. And it wasn't a voluntary sign-up. But the commitment to it was absolutely voluntary.
Well, maybe I'm going to push on that one a little bit, right? Because even across any organization, right, I think a leader's role, particularly a senior leadership role, is really to set that longer-term target and then letting the team say, okay, how do I get there? So even in a downturn, okay, look, revenue's down. We gotta restructure to figure this out. But ultimately, we think at the end of the year, we got to be at X. How do we get here from day one to get to X?
I agree. It's about compliance or commitment. Which do you want? If you want people engaged, they need to come up with the ideas and own the plans themselves. I think it's counterintuitive for a lot of leaders to say, if I ask for help, I don't try to be perfect, and I empower my people, I actually gain a lot of authority in a strange way.
Well,
right?
It was interesting. I just gave a speech at an event in Washington, D.C. I was invited. And it's all CEOs of, like, defense contractors, the big guys selling jet planes and battleships and all that. And it was interesting because it's all CEOs in the room. And it was interesting because the topic that I chose for the speech was the imposter syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Right?
We come across that a lot.
And it was, and I did a show on this, so the listeners of the show, it's in the archive. You can find it over at Killer Innovations. I did a whole show on imposter syndrome, and that morphed into this. Now, the speech that I'm constantly being asked to share, because I share my own story. But afterwards, these are CEOs of tens of billions of dollar companies, and I couldn't tell you how many CEOs came up to me and go, finally, someone's talking, to the issue. And this is, the imposter syndrome gets evidenced by leaders who think they got to put the mask on, they've got to be perfect, they've got to go out there and never show weakness, never admit that, I don't know how to solve that problem, or I don't have the experience, I don't have the expertise to do that.
Right, and what you're teaching your team is that they shouldn't tell when they don't know what to do. They should never ask for help, and they should fake it till they make it, which we know is not the way to, drive innovation, where you have to be like open and vulnerable and accepting and collaborative and be willing to provide ideas that are not fully baked yet, even if it's not going to work.
Yep.
It's a totally different mindset.
Well, it is. One is you got to get people to recognize the imposter syndrome, that they're suffering underneath it because they think they've got a secret. And if someone finds out the secret,
they're busted.
They're busted, and they're going to lose their job, and no one's going to respect them, all those kinds of things. So when it comes to the loyalist team, is it something that every organization can do? Is it some unique magic that happens? Or is this something that every organization can and should achieve too?
We believe that not only can every team be a loyalist team, but everyone deserves a great team. And just like innovation is not magic, it's a process, building a team is a process. And if you truly think about I want team members who are not only great at what they do, but also believe in teamwork and in collaboration and in candor. And I set up the processes for us to set accountability, set expectations, empower my team members, set guidelines and shared goals. We believe it's achievable, and that's why we wrote the book, because in our consulting firm, we can talk to our 20 client organizations. We think there is a process and approach where you can recreate this at any level in your organization and build a great team.
So we're going to step out here just a quick second, take a quick commercial break, and we'll come back. We're going to talk specifically about the book. Book's only been out relatively recently, right?
Since September 12th.
September 12th. Wow, that's relatively soon. And actually, Audrey and I had a previous conversation because she was asking my advice, having been an author.
Yes,
and
I
give you a little reality of book publishing.
Very helpful.
There's an industry that needs help. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show. We're going to talk specifically about the book and how that all came together and the launch of the book and where people can find it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network. Carpenters have their hammers and saws, chefs have their outfitted kitchens, and musicians have their instruments. A craftsman's ability to do their job is dependent on having the right tools. So where does an innovator, someone who takes an idea and makes it real, find the right tools to do their job? Outfit your innovator's garage by visiting innovation.tools. Innovation.tools is an online store created by innovators for innovators. It's where you will find tested and proven tools to help you create that next great product or service. These tools include books, audio training, video training, brainstorming how-tos, and much, much more. And for a limited time, listeners of Killer Innovations will get 25% off on your first order by using the discount code RADIO at checkout. And 100% of our profits from your purchases will be donated to charity. So go to innovation.tools and create that next great innovation.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back. Let's pick up the conversation with Audrey and Linda. Now, you've taken all of this work, you've put it into now your book, which just recently came out, right? September 12th, so it's relatively new. How's it doing, by the way?
We've sold over 6,000 copies.
Wow! Yeah, so it's, that's actually a great...
It is.
That's a great out of the gate.
Yeah, they're very excited about that.
And so, and it's available all the normal places,
yeah,
right?
Online retailers, independent bookstore sellers, and your
so
local bookstore.
So let me answer honestly. How many of you have gone into the local bookstore to see if it's on the stand, right?
Okay, that's not a fair question.
Yeah, every author does it. And if an author tells you they don't, they're lying.
I was
in there day one.
Of course.
Because my publisher bought the end cap.
Oh, okay.
So I had an entire end cap with my book on it at Barnes & Noble. Believe me, I was in there the day it launched, and I was having my picture taken standing next to that end cap.
We had a launch event on publishing day at Tattered Cover downtown, and we
yeah, I know. You sent me a great
in,
you sent you
great.
Sold me an invite, and I couldn't make it. I know. I apologize for that. But
it was so much fun. It was just fantastic.
You know what the biggest fear for an author, though? This was my fear. Right, the book launches, and remember this. My mind was back in 2012 when my book came out. And my launch event, my launch event was at the Computer History Museum in Silicon Valley, which was great. But my book signing, my first real book signing, was at the Barnes & Noble right in the heart of Silicon Valley. Well, my biggest fear is I'm going to show up, get this little table, you get the stack of books, and nobody shows
there.
Up. Right. So I was telling my friends about all this nervousness. Right. We fly back. Huge banner on the front of the store. You know, my face is like 12 feet tall on this thing, announcing that my book signing is here, which kind of freaked me out. We go there for the book signing, and we get there maybe like 30 minutes early, and Barnes & Noble's got this big space with chairs all set up, and I come in, and I'm like, well, you know, okay. We get 10 minutes to, nobody's showing up. 5 minutes to, nobody's showing up. Time starts, nobody's there. I am like in freak-out mode. My friends were holding everybody in the parking lot.
Oh, nice friend.
Right, to freak me out. You know, those are your friends.
Yeah,
right? And it was sold out, and it was great. It was a great event. But that's your real friends, right? They're going to see how much stress they can put you under. So, So the book is out and seems to be doing great. It's on Audible, right? Yep. So people can find it and get it everywhere. I'm assuming you guys are now doing your speaking tours yet. Have those kicked in yet? Or
yeah, I had 3 interviews yesterday.
Yeah. So you're doing the whole radio podcasts circuit at this point, right?
Right.
And of course, this was your best one, though.
By far.
Well, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We were waiting on this one.
There's also been a lot of interest in print as well. So we have been doing a lot of articles for the book as well. There are we have found that the interest level in high-performance teamwork is inexhaustible because, you know, every leader, almost every leader we've ever met is looking for methods, approaches, tools to build their team.
Right, right. As we said in the beginning of this show, a lot of times people just think that I fell into this team. This was an accidental team. And actually, it was interesting because I pointed out Telligent. 1996, we started Telligent. Phenomenal company, phenomenal experience. But I couldn't tag why.
Yeah.
Until we had this conversation today as to what was the characteristic about that team versus... Now, believe me, HP, I would put HP right up there. But HP taught me about culture.
Mm-hmm.
And, Bill and Dave defined a culture. There was an expectation. And if you didn't fall into the HP culture, you got spit out.
Yeah.
You were not going to survive inside of HP. Like, no passive aggressive, mm-hmm. candor, mm-hmm. trust... engagement, all in, not holding back. So HP was the one who taught me really about the strength of culture. But I never really kind of correlated to why team there until we had this conversation. So thank you, because this was an eye-opener even for me, and I've been around the block a few times on these things. So if people want to follow what you guys are up to, where's the best place for them to keep track of you?
So if they're interested in really getting into understanding the book itself, go to theloyalistteam.com, and they'll see a lot of information in there about the book and about our products and services there. We also have a number of online assessments, and the one that I would suggest that people go and take immediately is takesnapshot.com. It's a free online assessment, and it will give you an insight from your perspective in less than 5 minutes which one of those 4 team types you're actually on today. Now, if in doing that you've got more interest in more robust assessments, we have another 3 assessments that get into different levels of detail, but really provide a really great diagnostic to understand where you're starting today.
And we believe it's really important to diagnose the current state of your team before you try to solve for a solution. We found a lot of team leaders who say, oh, I'll just go on an offsite if we play paintball or, go bowling together and have a good conversation, we will then suddenly be a great team. And it doesn't work that way. Just like you wouldn't go to the doctor and get a prescription for a medication without understanding what the issues were, you wouldn't do that with a team. So we have a full 360 assessment that you can do online for your team called 3D assessment. And if you take that, you can understand how you see the team, how your team members see the team, and key stakeholders see the team.
Perfect. So we'll have all those links in the show notes. So just hop on over to killerinnovations.com. We'll have all the links up to find the book, find Trispective, the company site, but also the link to the assessment so that you can go out there and find out what team you are on today. So as we wrap up today's show, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. If you have any questions or you've got a topic that you would like to have covered on the show, just drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. I'd also invite you to join the conversation over at theinnovators.community. That is a private Slack community for innovators from around the world where you can come, share, learn, contribute, and just be part of finding that support group, because being an innovator is really hard. And with that, thank you for taking the time. Don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. Go out and change the world. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.